Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and even though it's gray, bleak, and freezing cold out there, it really is spring. And this hour, we're going to talk about bringing color into your landscape, and not just any color, a particular color chosen by Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. The color is purple. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. And we've talked about purple in the past, but why purple?
Purple foliage plants or purple flowering plants just really stand out in the landscape. And that purple foliage stands out because we have so many other green flowering plants in the landscape. It just really becomes that dark spot and it starts to draw your eye. And purple foliage, we're usually talking a burgundy, reddish purple. So it's not usually lavender purple.
Right. We're not talking about the lavenders of lilacs.
Right. Right.
Did you have a particular experience that created this passion for purple in the landscape?
I did. When I was in high school taking my first horticulture class, I actually saw a purple leaf plum at the greenhouses where we were taking. And that's not the... Richard gave me a kind of funny look. It's probably not the best candidate for purple foliage plants, but I was amazed that there were plants that could have purple foliage and not be green and they could still be alive. So it made me think about, okay, you know, maybe there's more than just, you know, green foliage plants out there, and this sounds pretty cool to have some purple ones because it really stood out in this landscape.
All right. Well, let's talk about putting purple into your landscape. And and the idea is that it would just really give more depth and, and texture and interest to your landscape.
Right. And then when you talk foliage plants or this purple foliage, it's there all year. So, or at least, you know, from spring until fall. So it's something that isn't fleeting like some of flowers of some other things.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the candidates, some of your favorite ways. And should we start with shrubs?
Let's start with shrubs. So shrubs that are really popular right now that have purple foliage are things like weigela. There's a whole Wine and Roses series that have this kind of burgundy purple foliage. And there's also ninebarks, lots of ninebarks that have burgundy purple foliage, like Diablo, or one of my favorites is one called Little Devil. So
really, and how big are ninebarks? What kind of space do you need?
Yeah, so ninebarks and weigelas can get pretty big. They can probably get 10 feet tall. But there are dwarf cultivars that will fit in that kind of 3 to 4 foot range. And you're spacing them about the same width apart. So they're kind of mounding shrubs. So there's smaller ones and larger ones that will fit what you need in the landscape, I guess, is ultimate habit.
All right.
And weigelas and ninebarks are really tough, and they're hard to kill. So they're great things to consider in the landscape.
Absolutely. And what kind of light do they need?
Full sun is usually best, but you'll notice sometimes with the purple foliage, you can get away with a little part shade, maybe a little bit of afternoon shade or a little bit of morning shade. As long as they're getting half a day of sun, they still usually do really well.
And with the weigelas, I mean, they do bloom.
They do.
This is a lot of color, but the foliage is going to stick around even after the blooms are gone, right?
Right. With the weigelas, they have pink blooms usually in spring. And the ninebarks bloom, too, with these flat top kind of white or pink flowers sometime in the summer. So they bloom for about 2 to 3 weeks each, but you still have the foliage even after the blooms.
All right. And are these plants long-lived?
They're fairly long-lived. They do require some care. Both of them are pretty fast-growing, so regular pruning to kind of keep them young and vigorous is usually encouraged. But otherwise, yeah, you can have them in your landscape for 20 or 30 years easy.
Now, you talked about the contrast when you have the purple foliage. Do you also need to think about making sure that that color really pops, planting them next to something green?
Right. So you want to make sure you plant them near, you know, and it doesn't have to be something green. It can be next to a wall or your front facade of your house, something that will kind of contrast. up that light or that dark. And yeah, you don't want to have an all purple foliage garden because then nothing stands out. Yeah, I've tried it. I know.
All right. Well, so where should we go from here?
Next up's probably perennials, and that's where you have a lot of options for smaller things that add some purple. So instead of the daylilies and hosta, think about adding coleus, annual kale coleus, or there's a black snake group, which is a perennial that likes the shade with the hosta. So these have kind of that burgundy purple foliage. They can tolerate the shade. They look good in those kind of shady conditions. And the black snake root will bloom in summer. So you have these kind of white flowers in late summer on these like 2 to 3 to 4 foot tall kind of foliage, spiry type leaves. The coleus, you have all different leaf colors of coleus. You can go red, you can go green. There's tons of purples and purple and green mixes. And they are annuals that you just cut back, and they get as big as some of your hostas, and they're just really beautiful. And I think they look good next to some of the golden hostas or some of the green leaf hostas.
So you don't have to wed yourself to purple with the coleus.
No, you don't. No.
But if you're Cindy, you do.
Yeah, if you're Cindy, you have a few purple coleus in the shade. And then you know, not far away, you might have some gold coleus too, because purple and gold contrast well against one another.
All right. Well, what about larger plants in the landscape?
Larger plants, there are some trees that you can consider for purple foliage as well. And everyone's seen the Norway maples like Crimson King or Royal Red or Crimson Sentry that have that burgundy red foliage. There's also some crab apples that have some burgundy purple new growth, which is nice. So purple Prince or Royal Raindrops or Prairie Fire is probably one that you've seen before that has that burgundy purple foliage. They have flowers. The crabapples stay about, 20-ish feet. The Norway maple is going to be 50 feet plus, so something a little bit bigger.
All right. And again, I mean, in thinking about fall foliage, mm-hmm. That's something that is fleeting, but mm-hmm. do you like to think about contrasts as well?
Yeah, well, and these are nice. All of these are nice because they do have nice fall foliage. So they'll be purple. That Norway maple will be purple during the summer, and then it will turn kind of a yellowish color in the fall, which is kind of a nice contrast. And some of the crab apples, too, have a nice kind of yellowish fall color as well.
I think that this really intrigues me because, I'm not very good at putting a whole picture together, but it gives me a different way to think about mm-hmm. my landscape. I mean, this is a different kind of planning process than most of us go through.
Right. So it's thinking about not only the flower colors that are already happening in your landscape, it's forcing you to think about the foliage that's already there, the different textures that are already there, and then where are you going to put that, dark spot here or there or whatever to kind of draw some attention.
Now, we're not talking specifically about flowers, but do mm-hmm. you like to add purple accents with your flowers through
sure.
the year as well?
Sure. Now, and when I sometimes I want to repeat that kind of dark burgundy color, so I will add in some dark burgundy dahlias, or I'll add in some, dark purplish or burgundy purple petunias that kind of pick up on that kind of purple foliage to kind of repeat it, which is kind of nice. But when you're thinking flowers that are the same color as this foliage, you're thinking purple burgundy, you're not thinking lilac lavender. So it's a little bit different and a little harder too when to find flowers that are close to black.
When you are shopping in the nursery center, the plants aren't going to necessarily look like they're going to look in your landscape. Is that something you need to think about before you actually purchase the plants, is to do your research ahead of time?
It is important to do a little research ahead of time, or when you're at the garden center, to look at those labels to know how big some of these plants will ultimately get. So what's their habit? What kind of conditions they prefer as well. So doing a little bit of that kind of research ahead of time, or spending a little extra time reading those labels at the garden center, will save you a lot in success and failure in the garden later.
Wonderful. I'm talking to Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Richard Duran is also with us, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And we might as well dive into some questions because they are stacking up. And you can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And this is from Lynn in Walcott. I'm wondering if it would be better to wait until next spring to transplant our small oak tree. The trunk is 3/4 to 1 inch in diameter. We are unable to do it this year until early May, and wonder if it's too late.
Well, you'd want to do that before it leaves out.
Yeah.
So probably maybe because it's been so cold, if you could do it maybe in late April. I don't think they're going to be leafing out that early, but if you wait a year, they're going to get bigger. And the bigger they are, the bigger the tree, the more difficult it is to transplant. So maybe if they can get it done by late April, I would try it. Otherwise, wait till next year.
Could they put it in a container for a week or two before they transplant it, if like they have to be?
I think I would go from one place to the other immediately if I could. But I think with the cold weather, the trees will be dormant a little bit longer this year than normal. So.
And, you know, she's asking about an oak tree, and we're always so very careful about oak trees. When transplanting oaks, do we have to be more careful than we do with other trees as well?
Well, the main thing is they tend to have a taproot, and the smaller the better as far as transplanting them. Certain trees like, for example, maples and ash are pretty easy to transplant. Oaks, not as easy. So the smaller they are, the better. And I would try to get it done this year, possibly if I could, but definitely next year.
Okay. We will be back in just a moment. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to answer your questions. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Susan has a question about the weather. We all have some questions about the weather.
Oh, yeah.
But Susan says...
complaints about the weather.
Right, complaints.
I know we all have those. For sure. All right. Susan says, it's supposed to be extremely cold tonight in central Iowa, and I'm wondering if it would be a good idea to put towels over my bulb plants that are already out of the ground.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. Most plants, like tulips and daffodils, have started to emerge, but they're not very big yet. They're not very tall yet. And I think they can handle the cold weather. So I would be more inclined just to leave them go. But if they did want to cover them, I would probably put some type of support around them and then drape the towel or blanket over that so it's actually not resting on the actual plants.
Okay.
I might protect those bulbs that really have shown a bud or a flower and you're starting to see some color. But otherwise...
Are there any of those? It feels so cold.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Some of the early daffodils are kind of up, but I don't have too many in my landscape. But otherwise, I think I wouldn't worry about it. It should be okay, and it'll just stall them for a little bit longer, I'm afraid.
Well, and I'm trying to cling to the silver lining here because, you know, often when it gets warm early, then we have our fruit trees blossom,
right.
And then we have a late freeze, and
right.
We lose the fruit crop. What are some other silver linings that I can be looking
less mowing. The grass will not green up until it warms up, so less mowing.
Right, and less chances of that late spring frost doing some damage so that we have good crops. No one's planting their tomatoes early, so everything will be kind of timed as it should be.
All right.
I hope.
All right, as long as it warms up. And we do have warmer temperatures ahead in the forecast. All right, let's get to the phones. 866-780-9100. Susan is on the line in Windsor Heights. Hello, Susan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking our call.
Sure.
Because I'll be handing the phone to my husband soon. My question is that we have some Stella d'Oro plants in our backyard that are in full sun. Mm-hmm. When we first bought our home 14 years ago, it seemed as though they bloomed more than once in the summer. But now they only bloom once and then they're done. Is there something we can do to get them to bloom more than once?
Yeah, Stella d'Oro is a good kind of repeat blooming daylily. So it should be blooming at least 2 months for you in the summer, almost continuously. So it is one of the longer blooming ones. My guess is it's maybe time to divide these into smaller clumps. So just dig the whole thing, divide it into at least half, maybe thirds, and then replant them. That kind of reinvigorates them. And then they start to bloom. And they may not bloom really well this year, but hopefully by next year, you're getting the blooms that are expected off of Stella. Stella's really tough.
Okay.
It's really a durable day lily. So if you can do that this spring as the foliage starts to come up, when it's a nicer weekend than this weekend, I think you'll be just fine. And you'll be impressed again. So, yeah.
Great. Thanks for that suggestion, Cindy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm handing the phone to my husband, Dick. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
Good morning.
Hi. What's your question?
Hi. Well, my question is, we've got 7 bare root Linton roses.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to plant those, and it says to plant them in shade or part shade.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a south side to our house with a bunch of lilac bushes.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if underneath the lilacs might qualify for the shade and part shade.
Sure.
Of course, there's no shade now since we don't have any leaves, and it doesn't look like we're going to have leaves until about September. So I'm wondering if underneath those lilac trees would work out with that southern exposure.
I think it will. So as long as the lilacs are shading these Linton roses or hellebores, especially at the middle of the day, the noonday sun, this might just work out perfectly. Linton roses usually bloom early in the spring. They're often planted under deciduous shade trees, so they get a lot of that sun in the spring, and then they really need some of that shade in the summer, in the intensity of the heat of summer. So I think your lilacs will provide that just fine. And it'll be a nice combination having the lilacs and the Linton roses going from one blooming first, then another. So nice. Just make sure with the Linton roses, though, they really like a good, well-drained soil. So don't put them in a heavy clay soil unless you want to amend it just a little bit. So lilacs are a little more adaptable as to site. The Linton roses really prefer kind of a good, fertile, well-drained soil.
Prefer a what?
A good, fertile, well-drained soil.
Oh.
So you might add a little bit of compost or something to that planting hole when you're actually planting them to make sure that it drains well. They don't like it wet.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Have fun.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, we've got Mary on the line in Moline. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good. What's your question?
I have 2 globe blue spruces, about 2 years old. One of them last August began to drop needles at an alarming rate, has continued that through the winter. There's no new growth. I'm assuming it's one of the fungal diseases that blue spruce are prone to. My question is that bush savable? And if not, Do I dare replant a blue spruce in that location?
Well, I would say that since they're fairly new plants, that maybe it's not disease-related, that maybe it's more they're just having a difficult time getting established in the landscape. That's a possibility. So the key to me would be, okay, some of the needles are turning brown, which is not good.
Almost all.
Okay, that's,
I would say it only has about 10% blue needles left.
Okay, not very good at this point. But the key would be, are the buds themselves dead or alive? If the buds are alive, they will break in a few weeks and put on some nice new growth. If they do that, very, very encouraging. Obviously, if they're dead, that plant is not going to survive much longer. It's basically dying. So, but I think it's more related to establishment. For some reason, it's just having a very difficult time getting established at its new site. So I guess I wouldn't be discouraged from planting another one in that area if that's the case.
Okay. And my second question, quickly, I have Arctic Fire dogwood. I've read A, cut a third of the wood out for new growth, and B, I've heard cut the whole thing to the ground so that all the stems come up red again.
Well, either way is fine. The key is that if you don't prune, as they get older, they lose that nice bright red color. So the key would be either cut them back entirely or a third would be fine. Either one.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Mary. 866-780-9100. That's the number to call with your questions. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And here is a question from email from Jane in Washington. How is it best to, one, prune sumac, two, stop it from spreading, and three, replant the spreading portions to other locations in my yard?
Well, it's very hard to prevent it from sprouting or coming up in the yard. You basically, if you don't want them, you simply prune them off or cut them off. You really can't stop that habit. As far as trying to remove one, I guess I would let one sprout come up and then go out in early spring and dig it up and move it to a new location.
All right. It sounds it's pretty hardy.
They're native to Iowa. They're very
tough.
Resilient. They do sucker where the suckers may come up maybe 10 or 15 feet away from the parent plant. And that's kind of annoying for some people. But as far as preventing it, you really can't. But once they come up, if you want to, you could dig them up and move them. As far as pruning them, you basically just prune out the dead wood for the most part.
All right. And it adds a great splash of color in the fall.
It does in the fall, yes.
All right. Back to the phones. Steve is on the line in Altoona. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've got a question for you about a rose bush. We closed a family farm out in western Iowa, and I dug this up and brought it back, and I know it's at least 90 years old. I have no idea the name or the variety of it. It puts out a kind of a blood red rose around Memorial Day that's maybe a half dollar or larger in size, blooms once, and then it's done for the summer. More of a big bush now. Some of the canes are probably 4.5-5 feet tall, and I just was looking for suggestions on. I've been able to keep it alive, and I've been able to get it to bloom. I have no idea how to trim it. If it's trim it in the fall, trim it in the spring, leave it.
Okay. Obviously, I would prune any dead canes or any dead growth. And beyond that, I guess what I would be inclined to do is periodically go out there and maybe remove just a few of the largest, oldest shoots or canes near the ground. And I would do that on a periodic basis, maybe every other year. And that way, basically what I'm doing is I'm trying to kind of renew the plant so it never gets really old, that it's always kind of in a younger state where it's more productive and more vigorous. So that would be my inclination, is to go out there periodically and just take out a few. And I would do this basically in late March, early April, before it does that anything, and just select a few and cut them off near the ground.
But let the height go on them?
Right. Let them grow to their natural height, which may be 5-6 feet. Shrub roses can get fairly tall. But you're leaving plenty of canes left, so they'll go ahead and bloom later on in the spring.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Next up, we've got Joe in Waterloo. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
I've got some lilacs that are kind of a problem in my house, and I'm really wondering how and when I should prune them and how far back I should take them to really make them pop and fill out a lot more than what they are.
Okay. Do you know what kind they are?
Unfortunately, no, I don't. Okay. They're lavender, and they smell delicious.
Okay, so they're probably the common type. So they tend to be kind of leggy. That's kind of their natural habit when they get older. Again, I would go out there probably right now and maybe select maybe three or four of the largest, oldest stems and cut them off near the ground if I could. And that would encourage new growth in the base. And maybe next year do the very same thing. That way, again, you're basically renewing the plant. You should have plenty of bloom in the spring. Typically, that's what you want to do. You don't want to give it a haircut where you just chop it off, let's say, 4 or 5 feet above the ground. That's not a good way to do that. So I would just basically go again,
okay,
do some thinning on a fairly periodic basis.
Sounds good. I will surely do that.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Joe. And next up, we've got Millie in Algona. Hi, Millie.
Hi. I have another pruning question. I did not get my alpine currant pruned when I should have in March. Is it going to be too late if I do it this weekend?
No.
Sure feels like March out there.
It is.
You may want to wait till maybe next week, but basically you want to do it before they begin to leaf out, and they're not going to do that for a while yet. So you could probably do it fine later on next week.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. There's another silver lining.
This
it's
is
great.
True.
You still have time to prune, yes.
For procrastinators. All right, here's a question from Ryan in Van Meter. He says, I purchased several bare root apple trees that are in bagged wood chips. I opened the bags just a little so they can breathe a bit. They're in the garage and have not sprouted out yet. I would like to plant them outside, but this weather... He says, I've been holding off for a week now. Do you have any advice on when to proceed with planting or on their care while I wait for the weather to improve?
Yeah, in the meantime, basically, I would check the wood chips and make sure they're basically moist, mm-hmm, because you don't want the root system to dry out. So make sure they're moist. If they are getting a little dry, add some water. And then just keep them in the garage in a nice, cool place. They should be fine. And maybe by next weekend, possibly, they can go in the ground. If it's not too wet, they can go in the ground.
All right. Here's a question from Angela. You can email your questions to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or call us at 866-780-9100. Angela says, what are a few recommendations for perennial fruiting plants to include in a household garden located on a farm in eastern Iowa? We're thinking of raspberries and possibly grapes, but would like a few other recommendations.
I would definitely suggest strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
They're very easy to grow. Weeding is the main problem on those, but they're very productive, easy to grow. You do need a sunny site, a well-drained soil, and if they have those requirements, they're very productive. So strawberries would be on the top of my list.
All right. So in addition to raspberries and grapes, anything else?
You could go with some
blueberries,
small...
maybe. Okay. Blueberries. You do have to mend the soil for those, but you can do that.
What about apples?
Apples
some
are
of the dwarf types.
They're still going to be maybe 10, 12 feet tall, and to me, apples are more high maintenance as far as required as cultural practices. So, but if you do, that's fine. Make sure you have two different varieties.
All right. Here's a question from Barbara. She says, I have yew bushes that are supposed to grow 4 to 6 feet high. They seem to want to grow out more than up. When do I prune them and how to get them to grow more in height than in width?
Well, as far as pruning them, they do tolerate pruning quite well. And I would try to do that probably sometime in the next week to 10 days. That's perfectly fine. As far as growing to a certain height, to a large part, that's genetics. So maybe that's not their thing. But as far as if they're growing, maybe wide, prune them as far as on the side and encourage the growth on the top.
All right. And here's a question from Paul. He says, I have a rose bush that doesn't bloom well. I think it's because it doesn't get enough direct sun. Is it better to move it in the spring or the fall?
Definitely spring. And you want to do that as soon as you can before it starts to leaf out. In the fall, they might winter kill.
All right. And again, you've got a little more time than usual.
Yes, you do.
Probably at least a couple of weeks. A little bit of a window there.
I would think so, yeah.
All right. And when we think about, I mean, the ground really feels frozen today. What part of the year are we kind of in? I mean, we're not doing things that we'd normally be doing on April 6th.
I think we're basically maybe mid to late March. We're behind by probably 10 days, maybe 14 days.
All right. So think about that when you look at your hort day calendar or your horticulture calendar and adjust accordingly. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Richard Duran is here with me today, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. They are here to answer your questions. Give us a call. The lines are open, 866-780-9100, or tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today on Talk of Iowa. And with me to answer your questions, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's a question from Earl. He says, I have an acreage in Story County that has mostly oak and hickory trees. What resource could I use that will help me determine which other trees I should consider planting based upon available space, soil, sunlight, etc.?
You may want to check with your DNR district forester, and maybe they can come out and provide some suggestions.
All right. Here's a question from Sharon. She says, my husband gave me a gorgeous azalea. I would like to plant it outside later. I have a place on the south side of the house, but the north side of a landscape wall about 5 feet tall. It's a sheltered spot that surprise lilies grow in. Would that be good for an azalea?
Well, as far as a plant, if they were given one as a gift, that came from a florist. And those types are not winter hardy outside. So they really can't plant it outdoors. They can keep it as a house plant, and they can bring it outside in the spring, but it really has to come inside in the fall of the year because it's not winter hardy. So that would be one option.
All right, so enjoy it inside.
Inside.
And maybe buy a new azalea for outside.
There
but what about that spot?
As far as the azaleas, they typically do best in partial to full sun. Typically, at least 6 hours of direct sun. And there are some cultivars from Minnesota, the Northern Light series, that are extremely cold hardy. So that's not an issue. They need plenty of sun. They need a well-drained soil. They need an acid soil. But if they have those, they're perfectly fine. There's pinks and whites and yellows and oranges. So a good well-drained soil, acidic soil, and at least 6 hours of direct sun.
All right. And so you think that the north side of a landscape wall
may not get enough sun.
Okay.
Yeah. So they wouldn't die, but they wouldn't perform very well.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Bill is on the line in Comanche. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a question about, I have a tea rose. It's formed in kind of like several bushes together, but I many years ago, I tried to separate it and replant it. Well, the roots go way down, and I wasn't able to replant it. But they're also, besides growing from the bush, the plant is growing away from it, separate, you know, stems coming up out of the ground. And I want to prune it because it does get quite high. So should I just try and cut those stems that are growing from the ground completely down to the ground and hope that they won't grow back up, and then try and prune the rest of the plant down more?
Well, if it's a modern type rose, they typically produce those by budding or grafting, where they bud or graft the desired variety onto a hardy rose rootstock. And if those sprouts are coming from the rootstock below ground, they're not going to give you the plant that you want. So I would try to cut those back to the ground if I could and leave the other shoots or canes.
Okay. And then the best time to do that is I've heard different ideas, but usually they say wait until it does have some leaves on it so you can tell where the where it's dead and where it's still good.
No, typically I would do it in early spring. You could still do it like next week or so. Basically, when you're looking at the plant, if there are dead portions on the cane, they're going to be brown. It's pretty obvious. And so you want to prune back to where the canes are green. Those are live areas. So prune out the dead on the desired plant, and as far as the sprouts coming up from the base, from the ground, cut those off at the ground.
Okay, and now because these things are about 6 feet tall, so should I prune them way back too? Because they're constantly asking me to prune it down more because it's taking over a certain area of the corner of the house and stuff.
Well, you can prune those canes back to maybe 2 or 3 feet very easily if you want to.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Holly is up next in Fairfield. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Charity. I have a question about yews, another question. We're having some foundation work done on the west side of our house, and I have 4 25-year-old yews there. And they told me that they can pick these things up kind of by the root ball and put them aside, do the work, and then I can transplant them. I want to know if that's true, and then what I need to do for my yews to make this an easy transition.
I would say that would be extremely difficult. Yews have a very large root system. They are very, very hard to remove if you're trying to do so. It may take a truck to pull them out. So I'm thinking that to try to dig them up, set them aside, and then put them back, I don't think it's very practical. It'd be very, very difficult.
Well, they said they were going to bring the machinery in and move them that way. So I think we'll be able to get them out.
Okay.
I'm just more curious, like, should I trim them down before this happens? Because I imagine branches could break while the machinery's on them.
So they're going to use.
Is there any hope?
So they're going to use a tree spade of some type?
They probably won't use a tree spade. It'll probably be like a big, you know, backhoe thing.
Or skid loader.
Yeah. I think it's going to be.
Skid loader. I think it's going to be difficult.
Anyway, you could prune them back, yes. I wouldn't prune them back severely, but you definitely can. So there's less of the material around them. The other thing I probably would do would be to go out with some twine and attach it to the base of the plant and then wrap it around to make it more compact.
Yeah, and that will cause less damage to the shrub. And you probably will have to do some pruning even after they've moved it off and moved it back in.
Always leave green, right? I don't take it down to where there's no green. Is that correct?
Right. You would like to do that because, yes, they can come back from bare areas, but you're basically digging it up, which is causing damage. If you prune it back severely, that's also stressful. You don't want to do that if you can avoid that. You could also use some burlap to wrap it around, too, to really make it nice and compact.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100. Brenda's up next in Cedar Falls. Hi, Brenda.
Hi there. My question is about pruning oak trees. I know you should only do that in the winter, and I'm wondering if it is too late to prune my bur oak.
I would say yes, it is. We typically like to do that in the winter, basically December, January, February. Now, if you have, you know, 1 or 2 small branches, I think I would go ahead and do that, but then immediately paint the pruning surface with a latex house paint. And that would prevent the insects from visiting that site, so that should be okay, but it should be done immediately.
Right. Okay. Terrific. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call. So this procrastinator gift is not necessarily extended to oak trees.
Right. There's still that risk.
We will have insects very soon.
Right. Yes. So that's why I would paint it just to be sure.
All right. Here's a question from Dan in Albion. He said, our family enjoys fresh horseradish, and we'd like to cultivate some. We just don't want to let it take over the yard or garden. Would it do well in a large pot or planter? And do we have to be aware of it spreading by seed blowing around?
The seed aspect is not a concern. As far as growing in a pot, probably not very well. You could definitely do it. I think the key in growing it in the garden is to harvest every year. that if you do that, you dig it up, you basically harvest what you want and replant what you don't. If you do that on an annual basis, it keeps it kind of in check. But if you don't, and it basically gets established for 2 or 3 years, it becomes kind of like a weed. So you really need to harvest it on an annual basis, I think.
All right. And Jane in Washington has a follow-up question about her sumacs. She said she wants to know how to prune them so they don't get so large. She's got one growing toward her porch screen, and she'd like to control where it goes.
Yeah. I don't know that you can, because they tend to be very tall, very leggy. You can take off maybe some side branches, but that's just kind of their nature.
All right. But again, I mean, they're really hardy. So if she prunes it just to keep the branches away from her screen, she's not going to do much damage, right?
No. It'll just sprout up somewhere else.
Okay. All right. Here's a question from Barb. When is the best time to prune boxwoods?
I would probably do that in the next week or 10 days. They are an evergreen tree, an evergreen shrub. And so you want to do that before they start to grow. So I would say in the next week or 10 days.
All right. Here's a question from Jesse. I need suggestions for annuals. The space I want to use is near the foundation of my home between the front walk and the house, and it only receives morning sun. My fear is planting something with a root system that will cause damage to the home.
That's not going to happen. No. As far as annual plants, that should not be a problem.
All right. So what would you think about putting there?
Purple coleus.
Well, you could put anything there. You could put as long
or
as
any color of coleus.
Or any color of coleus.
But as far as if they get sun from like sunrise to noon, that should be fine for most things that like sun. So it could be marigolds, petunias, geraniums.
Zinnias.
All right. So she has a lot of options. And as long as she sticks to the annuals, she's going to be fine about the root system.
Even a shrub there shouldn't damage the foundation. It should go around the foundation. It really shouldn't damage the foundation.
All right, here's a question from Myrna in Des Moines. I put in a new water service line last fall and had the spot aerated and seeded, apparently too late for the seed to germinate. Should I just wait to see if the seed germinates this spring or move on to sod or another solution this spring? I need to get rid of this muddy spot.
Yeah, I'd probably put in some sod, because I think if they did that last year, it's very unlikely it's going to germinate this spring if they didn't see anything last year. So I would be more inclined to go with sod.
All right, 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. You can also email us at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tom is on the line in Cumming. Hi, Tom.
Hi, I was wondering, what is the best time of year to trim back mature white pines?
Well, you can prune those in the next few weeks, but you can't really do much pruning. Now, if you're talking about pruning out the lower branches, you can do that. And you can prune out dead branches, but typically we don't do much pruning beyond that.
It would be just the lower branches, so I can mow around them a little bit.
You can do that anytime next 2 weeks, no problem.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Tom. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And you say anytime in the next 2 weeks. This weekend is not going to be a very nice weekend for working in the yard.
But hopefully by maybe midweek of next week.
All right, let's get back to the phones again. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Kevin is on the line in Dubuque. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi. I'm calling actually from my car. I'm going to pull over here. But I have a home in Dubuque that has a east-facing bluff view of the Mississippi. And the previous owners and the neighbors have all trimmed these back. Their sumacs have kind of taken over as the primary vegetation. And I'm wondering how we can control those rather than just having to go down and cut them down. I'd like to plant something else that might be a little more native to that and try to reestablish the woodland like it used to be.
Okay. Well, they're kind of hard to destroy. I mean, cutting them...
And they are native.
They are native, yes, absolutely.
Well, I understand, but right, it just seemed to be the only thing. Of course, this is virtually, 90 degrees to get down these trees. So we have to do it via, on a rope. But we can cut some of these down, what can I plant to help keep them down? Say like cedars or yews or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I would go with cedars, but maybe some of the native hardwoods in the area.
Yeah, there are certainly red oaks, and I think that we, but of course, planting one along in that area is kind of difficult. But that's not the only tree. I mean, we still have these areas that are basically only sumac, and I'd like to have something there different from sumac.
Well, I think I would go with trees, and once they get established, then the sumac is going to be kind of crowded out. Other native plants that do well would be things like, for example, bush honeysuckle, which is a low-growing plant, also suckers. It spreads. You could try what they call Indian paintbrush or Indian buckbrush, which is a shrubby plant too. So those do spread. They grow on difficult sites. So those might be possibilities.
All right, that's a tough, tough place to plant anything.
Right.
Any advice as far as that goes? I mean, it seems like if you plant something, it's going to have to grow at a pretty steep angle.
Right, but they can. I mean, the trees and the shrubs, they can deal with that once they're established. They can deal with that.
All right. Well, good luck, Kevin. Next up, we've got Jim in Altoona. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I have a question. I have a very mature, probably a 40 or 50 year old. You know, I think it's a juniper. It's an evergreen, but it would be like maybe a real thick spruce or a juniper. It's 20 feet high and 20 foot across at the base, and it grows like a very large shrub. Can I prune it?
Well, it sounds like it may be some type of juniper or cedar. Can you prune it? Yes. Now, what are you trying to achieve by pruning it?
Well, a few years ago, we put flowers like lilies around the base of it outside when it was quite big.
Okay.
Well, it's probably 2.5 feet all around on radius. More since then. So now it's trying to cover up all of the daylilies that we put there.
Right. Well, the thing, if it is some type of juniper or cedar, all the growth basically is out of the outer portion of the canopy.
Yes.
And so you cannot prune them back very seriously. If
right.
you did, if you prune them back to where the branches are bare, they're not going to re-leaf out again. So you can do some minor pruning back of that green growth, but you have to leave some of that green growth there for the plant to continue to grow. So light pruning is possible, but not very severe pruning, no.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot for your call. We are out of time. Thank you so much to everybody who called this hour. We'll be back again with Horticulture Day next Friday. Richard Giron, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and hopefully by next Friday on Horticulture Day, it will feel a lot more like spring. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.